Okay, we're going to start here on Mem Hey, I'm with Aleph by the two dots. The sugi here is continuing with what we discussed for the last little bit in the daf, which is that a ketana who acts on her own volition goes ahead and marries herself off on her own volition without consent of her father. So here we have a more complex case, but a similar type of idea. So Itmar, mate, v'nofel lefnei achav liyibum. So what happened? This girl went off on her own volition, married, and without her father's consent, and then her husband passes away. So when her husband passes away, obviously she doesn't have children now because she's a ketana, and she now has to perform yibum with his brothers. So Amrav Huna Amarav, so Rav Huna Amarav says about this, mima'enet lima'amaro ve'ena mima'enet lezikato. That when it comes to yibum, we know that mina Torah, yibum only requires bia, which means that in order to consummate the yibum, the brother just has to have bia with the woman, and then the yibum is complete. The Chachamim established or created a rabbinic institution called Ma'amar. Ma'amar is the equivalent or similar to what Kiddushin does in a regular marriage. Whether it's in a regular marriage, there's Kiddushin and then Nisuin. The Rabbanan sought to replicate that by Yibum, and therefore they created Ma'amar, which would be the equivalent of Kiddushin, and then the Yibum, the Bia, which would consummate the marriage, would be the equivalent of Nisuin. So here, if he performs Ma'amar, this brother, who is now supposed to be Miyabim, this girl, goes ahead and does Ma'amar with her, this Kiddushin de Rabbanan, then she requires Miyun. But if he does not perform Ma'amar with her, and now he does not want to marry her, he does not require Miyun. So again, the case is, this girl married her own, on her own volition without her father's consent, that husband passes away, and now she is left to the brother in order to perform Yibum. The brother decides in the end he does not want to perform Yibum with this girl. What does he need to do in order to release her? So the Gemara says, if he did Ma'amar with her, if he did this rabbinic kiddushin with her, then he requires Miyun. If he did nothing with her, then he requires nothing to release her. So Ketzah, the Gemara is going to explain that in more detail. So what does that mean? Asaba Ma'amar, if the brother went ahead and performed Ma'amar with her, this kiddushin de Rabbanan, then she needs three things. She needs Tzricha Get, Tzricha Chalitza, V'tzricha Miyun. She needs a Get, Chalitza, and Miyun. Why does she need each of these? Tzricha Get, she needs a Get, Shema Nitratze Av B'kiddushei Sheni. Because maybe the father was okay or acquiesced to the Ma'amar, the kiddushin of the second. And in order, we know that, the Chachamim tell us that if a person performs Ma'amar with a woman who is slated to be his Yivama, and then he decides he does not want to marry her, he must give her a get to release her from the Ma'amar, and has to perform Chalitza to release her from the Zika, from the Torah prescribed connection that he has to her. So here, again, this gentleman, this brother, performed Ma'amar, or did Ma'amar with this girl, and because of that, in order to release her, he needs a get over here. Why does he need a get? Because maybe the father approved of his kiddushin of this Ma'amar. And Tricha Chalitza, Av B'Kiddushei Rishon. She also requires Chalitza over here because maybe the father approved of the first marriage. If he approved of the first marriage, then this girl was married to the first husband, Minatorah, and when he dies, she falls to the brother, Minatorah, and the only way to release her is to perform Chalitza in order to release her from the Torah-prescribed connection that he has to the Yivama. And then, he requires a Miyun. Why do we require a Miyun here? Miyun is basically an annulment, midrabanan. It only annuls rabbinic formed kiddushin. So miyun is where the girl rejects and it almost creates an annulment, retroactively is okir the kiddushin. So why do we require miyun over here? Miyun, shema lo nitratzea av, lo b'kiddushei rishon, velo b'kiddushei sheni. Because maybe the father did not approve of her first marriage or her second marriage. So everything that's transpiring here is all on a rabbinic level. It's all midrabanan. So what's the problem if it all transpires at a rabbinic level? So she gets chalitza midrabanan and she has to get midrabanan. The problem is now if this brother who was supposed to marry her because he was the yabam and she was the yavama, and then he gives her a get and a chalitza to release her in case there was kiddushin d'oraisa. Then he goes ahead and tries to marry her sister. So people are going to say, oh, you know, he doesn't need a get from her sister because achot grushato, a sister of a divorcee, right, is asur min ha-Torah. If it's asur min ha-Torah, the kedushin are not tovsin, the kedushin don't take effect. The kedushin don't take effect, then he doesn't need a get over here. Whereas, because we know that when it comes to two sisters, an individual may not marry two sisters, and that's only, or that is always, even after divorce, meaning that if one is married to Rachel, then Leah, her sister, is restricted from him, right, even if they get divorced. The only thing that changes is that if Rachel passes away, then Leah does become permitted to him. That's what's called bichayah in her lifetime. So If that's the case here, what are people going to think? He provided a get and a chalitza to this ketana that was married to his brother. So we're going to say that he divorced this girl, that he was really married to her, and he divorced her. And now when he goes to marry her sister, right, we're not going to worry about the kiddushin because he was divorced from her sister. Achot grushato, there is no kiddushin. But that's not true, because everything that transpired here was all at the rabbinic level, because the father never acquiesced to any of her marriages. And therefore, her marriage and the yibum and the chalitz and the getta was all done here, was all derabbanan. So min haTorah, the kiddushin that he performs with the sister is a valid kiddushin, and he really does require a get, or she requires a get, in order to be released from him. So that's what the Gemara says. That's why we require miyun over here, to show people that everything that's transpiring over here is midirabbanan, and therefore, if the brother goes ahead and acts after the get to marry one of her relatives, we're going to say, wait a minute, maybe it is a valid kiddushin because maybe the get was not good. How do I know the get's not good? Because that's indicated through the miyun. Through the miyun, which is a rabbinic institution, shows us that what's transpiring here is all misafek, or possibly only at the rabbinic level. So that's what Gemara says. Shema lo nitzarate av, lo bi kiddushin vishom, lo bi kiddushin sheni, v'yomru en kiddushin tosim ba'achuta. Then people will say that the kiddushin don't work with her sister, right? And if that's the case, that's untrue in this case, because the father did not want her to marry the first guy or the second guy, and we're dealing simply on a rabbinic plane. Rashi points out over here, and so does Tosfos. Rashi says, what does it matter whether the Av approved of the first or approved of the first marriage or didn't? I mean, that even if he approved of the first marriage and he didn't want the second marriage, then there's no need for a get over here. Why is there no need for a get? Because the first marriage only requires a chalitza to release her from the yibum. So even if the father approved of the first marriage, only disapproved of the second marriage, the get was unnecessary. If the get was unnecessary, then, again, he cannot be relieved of a kiddushin that he creates with her sister, because the get that was done here was only a get midirabbanan. So Rashi says, or solves the problem, and says that Omar ni shemeloni tratsi b'kiddushin roshon kedei naspo. Omar really just wanted to say that the father didn't want the second kiddushin, but, and they dragged along and said he didn't want the first kiddushin as well. But that's not really relevant. Tosfos goes one step further and says that even the second case, you don't need this. He says, Rabbeinu Shimshon Makutzi Omer, Dami Kedin Aspo, that everything is brought down here. Dafilu Nitzaratza the Rosh Shon Olusheni. Even if the father approves of the first and the second marriage, Ikla Mechas Laha Shema Yomuin Kedushin Tovsim Bachota. Or in Tovsim Bachota Min HaTorah. Because the only reason she's getting a get here is because of the Ma'amar. Ma'amar is a rabbinic institution, and the gets then only function midirabbanan. So he's really not released from this sister if he creates kiddushin there. Right? So what does it have to do with nitratayav, lower nitratayav? So therefore, he says, if that's the case, why did it write it? Why did the Gemara here write Shemelon nitratayav rishon, Shemelon nitratayav b'sheni? So the Re says over here that it was a lo mibayi kamar. So that the father approved of the first marriage, he still requires miyun here because maybe he didn't approve of the second marriage. And therefore, you have miyun to say the get is invalid. But then, even if the father, right, nitratze rishon, and was what? Nitratze b'sheni, even in that instance, you still require miyun because the second marriage is only midirabbanan. Why is it only midirabbanan? Because it's only to relieve the ma'amar. The get's coming to relieve the ma'amar, which is only a rabbinic institution. And that's why we, over here, he goes that it's a lo mibayi kamar, and that even though the Gemara did not need to say Shema lo nitratze av b'kiddushin sheni or b'kiddushin rishon, it could have said even if the father approved of both marriages, the get is only rabbinic get, and we need the miyun to indicate that. Or Tosfos also asks over here that why do we require miyun? The fact that you have chalitza and a get should indicate to people that the get is already misafek, and that should be enough to tell people or indicate to people that the get is only midirabbanan. Tosfos says, no, without miyun you wouldn't say that, because people would think the reason they did chalitza was for those people who don't really understand. And truthfully, all she needed was a get over here. The chalitza, we did that because some people might have thought that she was married to the first guy, so we did the chalitza to clear that up. But not that we really needed chalitza, and because of that, they won't view the chalitza as detracting from the get in any way. Therefore, we require miyun, which has no necessity over here. Once you put the miyun, which is a rabbinic institution, there people will be clear that this get is only midirabbanan, and then there'll be choshesh for actions taken by this yabam afterwards. So now the Gemara continues with explaining the second half of the statement of Rav Huna. Lo asa b'amar, in atricha ele chalitza bilvat. If this yabam, this brother who's waiting to perform yibum, right, didn't perform ma'amar, then all he has to do is have chalitza to release her from her first marriage. So ma'amart. Why would you only have chalitza? Tibai nami miyun. Why don't we require also miyun to indicate that this chalitza is only a chalitza misafek? Shema Yomru Ein Kedushin Tosim Bachotah, because maybe some people come and say that she's Achot Chalutzato. Is his sister, if this brother who was supposed to perform Yibam performs Chalitza and then goes and marries her sister, marrying that sister is Achot Chalutzato, the sister of his, or of the girl that he performed Chalitza with. And that's also does not work, Mi Derabanan. So that doesn't work, Mi Derabanan. So what are people going to say? This guy goes and marries, and they say the Kedushin weren't Tofsim because he was Achot Chalutzato. But truthfully, maybe he wasn't Achot Chalutzato. This Chalitza has only done Mi Safek, because maybe the first marriage really never took hold because the father never acquiesced to it. So Gemara says, no, that we don't have a chashash for, because a kol yodim achot chalutza derabanan. Everybody knows that when it comes to achot chalutza, that's derabanan. So the fact that an achot chalutza is restricting from marrying a relative is only a rabbinic institution or a rabbinic gzeirah. It says only a rabbinic gzeirah. Everybody knows that if he goes and takes an action after that, that we're going to have to be choshesh at a Torah level for his action, and therefore they won't make that mistake. The Amar Reish Lakish, because Reish Lakish says about Konshan Rebbe, this is in a Mishnah Yevamot, that explains that by a Achot Chalutzato, he has to perform Chalitza, whereas Achot Grushato, he has to do nothing. The Rebbe says about that, Achot Grusha Midoraisa, that the restriction to marry a sister of a divorcee, right, is Midoraisa. That's a Torah prohibition, to marry two sisters after divorcing one sister. Marrying the second sister is a restriction Midoraisa. But to marry a sister after one has performed Chalitza with the other sister, right, that's only a restriction midrabonon. And since that's well known, you don't need the miyun to indicate here that the chalitza is only done misafek, or is only rabbinic in nature, and therefore they will be choshesh for other actions that this yavam takes. On the other hand, get, which functions doraisa, and a chot grushato, which also is a doraisa restriction, if he gives a get, people are going to think that all actions he takes afterwards, this yavam that he takes afterwards, are going to be invalid because it's a chot grushato. So therefore we bring the miyun in to indicate us that that's not the case. Now, new case in the Gemara. Hanu Beitrei, Davakoshati Chamra, Tete Tzipi Bebavel. These two fathers were sitting under a tree in Bavel. They were sitting on the Tzaptaf tree, some sort of Arava that they were sitting under. And then, Shakol Chadmineo Kasa the Chamra, one of them took a cup of wine. Yavle the Chavra, and he gives it over to his friend, and he says, Amar Bekashli Bratech Libri. With this cup of wine, I want you to marry your daughter to my son. Basically, they're arranging a marriage, and he's creating Kedushin for his son by marrying this daughter. So Amar Ravina, Rabbi says, "Afil l'man d'amar chashinan shemer nitratzei av." When it comes to a daughter, a ketana, even according to ones Rav and Shmuel who say that we worry that the father agreed to the marriage, or he might have acquiesced in the marriage, and therefore we require to have a get and miyun. Shemer nitratzei ben lo amrina. But when it comes to a son saying that the son might approve of his father's action, that we don't say. Why don't we say that? So Rashi points out, because the av b'kedushei bito b'chodohu nechle. When it comes to a father to his daughter, the fact that he wants his daughter to get married. Why? Because of the principle of Tav, the maid Tav, Tandu. It's better to be married than to be single. So the father, with whatever, if a guy really likes his daughter and they get married, he might come around and acquiesce to such a marriage. Avagavra daik benosiv, when it comes to a man, right, or a son, he wants to look out and check out the girl for himself. He doesn't want his father acting on his behalf. And number two, the father's not empowered to act on his behalf, as opposed to the case where a daughter, she's the one getting married, and so the father does have control, and the father's involved. But over here, the father and the son, the father has no relationship in terms of his ability to create kedushin for the son. He's not his shliach in any way, didn't appoint him. And number two is, the father has no control over who his son marries. So therefore, over here, when the father acted on his own volition for his son, we say that the son, we don't worry about the fact that the son agreed, because the son, that's not the type of situation that will happen, or a son will not generally agree in these cases. Amri le Rabban on the Ravina, but Dimash Shliach Shabye says, how do you know that? Maybe the son made the father a Shliach on his behalf. Says, Lo Chotziv Inish Lishvuya Avua Shliach. That person is not so mechutzav to make his father into his messenger. Right? Nobody appoints their father to do their bidding or to be their agent. And so that would not be. We wouldn't be choshesh for such a situation. Where it says, the Dilma, Artsui Artsei Kameh. Maybe the son confided in his father. He confided to his father that he really likes this girl and he'd love to marry her. So the father went out on his behalf and tries to get the, marries this girl. And that's exactly what the son wanted. And we say, Zakhin Shadam Lofanov. That here he did it, something that was to the son's benefit. The son had expressed his interest in this girl and wanting to marry this girl. And now the father goes and acts on his behalf. He's doing something to the benefit of the son. So why can't we be choshesh here that the father's acting, in a sense, on the behest of the son, because the son confided with his father? So Amar Luhu, Rabba Bar Simi. So Rabba Bar Simi says, Then beferish Amar Mar, Ferish, explicitly Ravina said, Delo Sarva Lahad Rabu Shmuel, that Ravina does not hold of the position of Rav and Shmuel. Now, Rav and Shmuel's position was that when a girl goes out and marries, a katana goes out and marries on her own volition, without the acquiescence of her father, and we say, Sheminir Tratza Av, that maybe the father would have approved of the marriage, and therefore we worry about the marriage. Ravina says, we don't worry about that at all. That even when a girl goes out and marries on her own, we don't worry about it. So, of course, certainly when it comes to a son, we don't worry about that the father's acting on behalf of the son, because we never say, Sheminir Tratza Aben. Ah, didn't Ravina just say before, in the beginning of the sugi, Ravina said, Afilu the mandamar chashin and shemen itratzeav. That even, my statement is, even according to the one who says that we worry about the father acquiescing to the daughter's actions, we don't say that by a son, which implies that Ravina recognized or thought that shemen itratzeav was a possibility. So in this, Rashi says, no, that it's not the case, that he did not believe that. Ravina's belief was that it never matters. When a daughter takes action, a katana takes action, it's meaningless. And we don't say Shemini Tratza Av. Why did Ravina posit his position in that way that says, Afilu Lamanda Amar? Because he wanted people to accept his position when it came to the son. So to give it more tokeh, he picked up what Rav and Shmuel said and said, even according to Rav and Shmuel, they'll agree to this halacha over here. But not that he necessarily agrees to Rav and Shmuel. So that shows from here, and the Tosfos points out over here, that the Rif and the Shiltos, the Rav Achai Paskin like Ravina over here. Why? First of all, because he's a Batra. Ravina is one of the later Amoraim, so he has a din with him. And number two is Rabbi Bar Simi also goes along with him and joins in his position. And now the problem is, and we saw this earlier in the Gemara, that the Gemara was surprised by such a position, that how could someone have a position like Ula, that you would require nothing when there was a shidduch, when the father had already discussed marrying off his daughter to this guy, and then she goes and acts without her father's permission. Now then we said that, how could Ula suggest that you need nothing? Of course, everybody agrees by a shidduch that they have to give miyun, or there has to be something done in order to clear up this marriage, or annul this marriage, because the father might have approved. So you saw that the Gemara wasn't willing to say this. And over here, Tosa seems to say, it indicates the Gemara, that even if there was shidduchim beforehand, Ravina does not require anything. So that goes back to a machlokas we saw between Ri and the Rashi over there, how you explain the Ikad Amre. So according to Rashi, the Ikad Amre in the Gemara before is exactly that position. The Ikad Amre in the Gemara said that whether it was a shidduch or not a shidduch, Ula said his statement, meaning that there is no need for Mion, and Ravina will be like Ula in the Ikad Amre. But according to the Ri, it's more difficult, because the Ri suggested that the second Ikad Amre also agreed to the point that if there's shidduchin, the Ula would not have made a statement that you require nothing. So this seems to indicate, and so this over here, so this seems to indicate a little bit like Rashi's position in that previous Gemara. After that, the Tosfos brings a very interesting case. He says that the Shiltos, the Rav Achai paskind, that Iktana, a young girl whose father traveled overseas, that she's able to marry herself off midrabanan, just like a Yesoma b'chayav, or a Yesoma, or an orphan that does not have a father. So in these instances where a girl doesn't have a father, then the Rabbanan instituted that she can have Kiddushin, she can create Kiddushin, or her mother or brother can create Kiddushin on her behalf, in order that they should be not noeg ba minhag hefker. So the Shiltos Rav Achai says the same thing will apply to a father who's overseas and is not available for his daughter. We'll say the same thing. The same din will apply. You can have a Yesoma, someone who's really an orphan, or you can have an orphan because the father is not around to take care of his daughter. So that's Rav Achai pointed. He says that Rav Menachem Miyoni ain't a motive of davar. He disagreed with the Shiltos, and he said no, that a daughter does not have a right in the life of her father to act like this. Why? If her father's dead and she's an orphan, then we know the father can never marry her off, or never can accept Kiddushin on her behalf, because there's no father here. But we have a possibility here is that when the father's away, that he accepted Kiddushin from somewhere else where he is, and he married this daughter off, and that's a marriage midoraisa. In the meantime, this girl is marrying herself off midorabanan. So you have to be choshesh, you have to worry about the fact that the father may be acting to marry off his daughter. If the father is not in the picture because he's dead, then there's nothing to talk about. But here, the father is alive, so you have to be choshesh for that. The Rabbeinu Tam disagrees, and he says, no, if that's the case, right, what happens if a father dies in Medina Tayam? The father never comes back. This girl can never get married because we're going to worry that maybe he married her off in Medina Tayam and she's going to be usher to the Chol Olam Kulo. We don't say such a thing. And the Rav Menachem answers back and says, no, no, no. When I say we worry, we were about Shema Yikadesh. Maybe he will be Mekadesh in the future. That's what we worry about. But Shema Kidesh, that he already took Kiddushin, that we don't worry about. Similar to a Gemara, we saw this in the Gemara in Kittin, right, that we say, the Shema Meit Lo Chashinan, that we don't worry about that someone has already passed away. The Shema Yamut, that someone will pass away, that we are Choshesh for. then the Rabbeinu Tam retorts to the Rabbi Nachem that actually there can be a differential between the case by mace and the case by kiddushin. Over here, the kiddushin, right, are never chal in the lifetime of the father, because as long as the father is still alive, we don't say Shema Kiddush. If the father dies, right, we say Shema Yikadesh. Maybe in the future he would have done Kiddushin. But once he's dead, at the moment that he dies, we can no longer say Shema Yikadesh, and we don't say Shema Kiddush. That's not true of Yamut, Shema Yamut, right, versus Shema Meit. Because over there, the way the setup or the case is that the husband gave the woman a get and says, 1 hour before I die, this get will become effective. So in that case, we always have to worry that in the future he will die, and therefore this is the hour before his death. So therefore, there's something that's happening prior to the death of the husband that we need to worry about. In the case of Kiddushin, there is no such worry. And therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam agreed with the Shiltos and passed it against this Rav Menachem Meoni that a Ktano, a young girl whose father is away, can accept Kiddushin Midirabbanan and establish Kiddushin Midirabbanan when her father's not there, because she's the equivalent of a Yatoma. She's the equivalent of an orphan. Okay, now we'll continue in the Gemara. How gaver the kaddish bekisha the yarka b'shuka? This individual who got married to a girl with a bundle of vegetables in the shuk. Amar avina afilu mandamar choshishin shema nitrata av. Even according to one who says that we worry about the fact that our father might approve of a kiddushin of the daughter, hani mili derech kavod. That's only if he did it in an appropriate manner that's befitting her and befitting a marriage. No, but if he does it in a manner that's unbecoming, then there's no way the father would agree to such a kiddushin. So Amalir of Acham Idifti Ravina Bizion Demai. What is unbecoming here? Right? Is it the Bizayon, meaning that what's the failure in the Bizayon here? Is it Ibizayon Diyarka, Ibizayon de Shuk? Is the fact that he used a bundle of vegetables, that's what's unbecoming? Or the fact that he did it in the Shuk, that's what's unbecoming? Right, nafkamino. Of course, nafkamino was if that he used the kaddish b'kasper b'shuka. If he used money in the shuk, then if it was the problem was the vegetables, if he uses money in the shuk, then it would be a good kiddushin, or we would say shemen nitrata av. Oh, if the problem is the shuk that he did that in public, and now that he used vegetables, then b'kish the yark, if he used a bundle of vegetables in the house b'veita, right, then it should also be okay. So my, what's the din? Amalei idvi idei derech b'zayin hu. They're both a failure. Meaning that both doing it in the shuk and doing it with vegetables are unbecoming. So either one of them is sufficient to say that this marriage would not take hold because a father would never approve of such an unbecoming marriage, meaning either getting married in the shuk or doing it with a bundle of vegetables. So hamam are the krivai, vihi amra the krivat. There was a couple that had a daughter and they wanted to marry off. The husband says, I want to marry off to my relatives. And the woman says, I want to marry her off to my relatives. Kaftei. So the woman tied him up and forced him to agree to her. Rashi says it's not literal that she didn't tie him up, but kaftei b'dvarim, that she put pressure on him, enough pressure until he finally agreed to marry the daughter off to her relatives. So he agreed that. So they made a party for the kedushin, and the relatives, her relatives, were coming over to marry this girl, to create kedushin with this girl. Meantime, that before her relatives show up, his relatives, who were coming for the party also, went upstairs, and upstairs they were mekadesh the girl. Again, without the father knowing, they went ahead and were mekadesh the girl. They preempted her relatives in doing the kiddushin. So Amar Abaye says in this case, k'tiv, sherit Yisrael lo yasu avla, v'lo yidavru chazav. The remainder of Israel will not do that which is wrong, and they will not lie. So over here, we do not worry about the fact that the father might approve of the marriage to his relatives, because he gave his word. He gave his word to his wife that this daughter would marry her relatives, and he won't back down for that, so we don't worry about Shemin Atayav. Rav Amar, no, there's another reason why we say this, is Chazakein Adam Terech Pesuda Mafsida. Person doesn't make a big party to celebrate the marriage to his in-laws, to his family, his wife's family, and then he's going to lose it. If he agrees to the Kiddushin with his relatives, the party will be broken up. He'll waste all the money that he put together for that. Person doesn't put all that effort in to make a party just to lose it in the end. So my binayu, what's the nafkamino dim? Ikeminau de lo torach. If he didn't make a party. If he didn't put any effort in here, then maybe he would change his mind. According to Abaye, he wouldn't change his mind because he keeps to his word. When a person gives his word, that's it. We don't question, we don't think. Maybe he would change his mind. On the other hand, the Rabbi says, no, it has nothing to do with if he gives his word or not. It has to do with whether he expends money or he makes effort. If he expends money or makes effort, it's clear that he's continuing on this path and he's not going to reverse his decision. But until he expends money or effort, we're not going to believe that he won't change his mind over here. Okay, so now, the next case, the next piece in the Gemara is, again, a continuation of this idea. Maybe taking another step for Niktakacha the Datavia, she got married. This young girl got married with her father's permission, meaning that's Kiddushin Min HaTorah. Then her father travels away overseas. And she got married. She completed the marriage. They had the nisuin without the father there, without the father's approval. That the girl is able to eat truma. If she's married to a Kohen, she may eat the truma there until the father comes and says, I don't want to approve of this marriage. The fact that the father already gave permission for the Kedushin to go through, we can assume that he also gave permission for the Nisuin to go through. And therefore, she can eat truma, right? Unless the father comes back and openly rejects it. Ravasi says, how can she eat truma? Maybe the father will come back and say, I don't approve of these Nisuin. If he doesn't approve of these Nisuin, then the marriage is, right, revealed to be inappropriate or annulled, right, and then now she's been eating truma when she wasn't supposed to eat truma. And now she can have a foreigner, meaning a non-Kohen, or a non-Kohenet, someone who she was married to a Kohen, now she's not really married to the Kohen, she's not married to the Kohen, how can she eat truma, the mafreya, retroactively? Now, Julia Sosa points out here that she's only in violation of midrabanan. Because Mina Torah, once a woman is married b'kiddushin, she's entitled to eat truma already. The reason we don't have her eat truma is because of a rabbinic institution, because we worry, Shema, right, either one, Shema yachila le'achia v'ima, that maybe she'll feed some of the truma to her brother and her mother or sister when she's still living in her own house, that we don't let her eat truma. The other person is Shema yimtaba, right, davar maguna, he might have simpon, that he might find within her something that's not pleasing to his eye, and he won't consummate the marriage, he won't have nisuin. That's all rabbinic in nature. I mean, Mina Torah already had kiddushin she could eat. So over here, when we say that she's going to be eating truma, she'll be violating the rabbinic decree or rabbinic takana that said that a woman may not eat truma after kiddushin before a nisuin. Haba uvdo, there was a case exactly like this. V'chashla Rav l'had Ravasi, and Rav was worried, and he paskined like Ravasi. I mean, he says that the girl should not eat truma until her father gets back and gives us approval. So Tosfos Sevir points out that despite the fact that Rav, right, approved or paskin like Ravasi in this case, nevertheless, the halacha is like Rav. Why is the halacha like Rav? Because, number one, is halacha is right because Rav Asi was his Talmud. It was Rav and Ravasi. So the Rebbe, the halacha goes like the Rebbe over the Talmud. And that's what Tosfos points out. B'chol makom sh'Rav v'Talmid chokim, halacha k'divrei Rav. It always goes like the Rav. Be'amorai rishonim, ad Abayi Rova. All the earlier Amoraim, until the time of Abayi Rova, that principle is true. After Abayi and Rova, Paskinin Kibachrai. Then we Paskin like whoever's the latest. Whoever's the latest Amora gets the final say or gets to be the Pesach Halacha. Why? Because the later Amoraim had all of the information of the other Amoraim and the Tanaim, and they went and made an extreme effort to put together the Halacha and could be Kovel Halacha. So therefore we hold like the, after Abayi and Rova, we hold whoever's later, we get to determine the Halacha. Before Abayi and Rova, then a Rav over a Talmud will paskin like a Rav. So over here too, so Rav and Rav Asi, they're before the time of Abayi and Rova, right? They're first generation and second generation Amoraim. So when Rav and Rav Asi argue, we're going to paskin like Rav, who's the Rebbe? And so why did Rav paskin like Rav Asi? In this case, that was just the Chumrah. He was Choshish Rav Asi. We have a similar case in the Gemara Megillah, where Rav and Rav Asi argue, and then Rav was Choshish for the Shita of Rav Asi. Doesn't mean that he paskins like him, he just was Choshish the Chumrah like Rav Asi. Now the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak, a new case. Umoda Rav, she made to in a Yorsha. That in this case, if this woman dies, the husband will not inherit her. Why? Uki Mamona bechezket marei. That we're going to put the money where it belongs, or the chazaka where it is. Where's the money right now? It's with the father. Because until this point, all they had was kiddushin. We don't know if the father approved of the nisuin, and therefore we're going to say, wait, the money stays with the father, who really is." Hasn't given her over to Nisuin yet. And even the Niskse Malug that he's given over to his daughter really belonged to her descendants or to her inheritors, not to the husband. So in this instance, if she passes away, the husband does not inherit her because we still have to be sure that the father agrees. And until the father agrees, we're not going to assume that the money goes. But why? If we say it over here that we wait for the father until he agrees, how come Rob says she can eat Truma? That has to do with the difference between the two. Truma, Mina Torah, really can be eaten after she has Kiddushin. So even if it's a mistake and the father does not approve of the Nisuin, really she could have eaten this Truma Min HaTorah. So therefore, if it's just a question of a rabbinic takana and we have to wait for the Av, there we'll say, let her eat Truma because probably the father agreed to the Nisuin. But when it comes to the money to marriage and the money of the father, we're not going to say that because it's his money and we're not going to take his money out until we know for certain that the father agreed to this marriage. So now a new case. Nitkach L'dat V'niseich L'dat. Right, again, she got married with the approval of her father, took Kiddushin with her father, created the Kiddushin, which means in the Torah. Then she completed the marriage, did the Nisuin without her father's approval. Now, Vavia Khan, different than the previous case where her father is traveling overseas, here her father's present. So Rabura Amar, Eino Ochelet, she's not allowed to eat Truma. Why? Because the father, why is the father silent over here? Because he is very upset about what had just happened. So he's not saying anything because he's angry. That she's entitled to eat truma. Why? The father wanted to object. He should have spoken up. And that's what the Gemara says here. Ravuna amar eino ochelet vafilu the Rav. That when I say she can't eat truma here, that's even according to Rav, who says in the case where her father travels overseas and she completes the nisuin, that she eats truma until her father gets back and objects. There, right over here, he would not eat the Rav. That's only the case where the father is not present. Here where the father is present, the fact that he's silent is because he's angry. He's very angry about what happened, and without his permission, right under his nose, they did this. That's why he's not saying anything. When he's overseas, right, then we assume the reason he didn't say anything is probably because he approves. He did the Kiddushin, so he probably would have approved in his doing. But here, his silence, we can't interpret as acquiescence because he's so angry that they did this without him approving, getting his approval first. Rabbi Rabbah says the other way. Amar Ochelet Vafilu Ravasi. He says she can eat Truma in this case. Even according to Rav Asi, who says when the father travels overseas, we worry that he might come back and reject the marriage, therefore she can't eat truma until the father comes back and says it's okay. Right over there, it's because the father might come back and object to the marriage. Over here, his silence can be interpreted as acquiescence, meaning that he is giving implicit approval by not saying anything. If he wanted to say, if he was upset about the marriage, he didn't want it to go through, he should speak up. The fact that he doesn't speak up is tacit approval for the nisuin. So now we have the last case here is a case where she did both. She had both had kiddushin without her father's permission and nisuin without her father's permission. Khan, in this case, Rav Huna Amar Ochelet. Rav Huna says she can eat truma. Rav Yerav Amar Ein Ochelet. She can't eat truma. So Amar Ula Had Rav Huna Kachomitz Lishinayim Chashan Leinayim. This statement of Rav Huna, his position over here is like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, meaning that it's incomprehensible. How can you make this? Hashtoma hotam de kedusha del raita. In the previous two cases where we had a case, both those cases, the father married her off, took kedusha min haTorah. The only question is that she performed the nisuin without her father's permission, but the kedusha at least were created min haTorah. Arto amart lo achla. Right over there, we say that she doesn't eat. In this case, of course she shouldn't be able to eat truma, because there's no even reason to believe she should eat truma. In the other two cases, at least she had a start, min haTorah, to have kiddushin, and min haTorah, she's really entitled to eat truma. So then when we're talking about a chashash, then there's two opinions. One opinion says she can eat, one says she can't eat. But at least there's a reason to believe that even if it's a mistake, at least min haTorah, she's approved to eat. Over here, there was no kiddushin at all, because she did it on her own volition, and we don't know if the father approved or not. How can we all of a sudden now let her go eat truma? Right, we don't even know if there's a marriage here at all, min haTorah. How can we approve her to eat marriage? So that's it, nirin. So he says over here, nirin divrei Talmud. Sounds like the Talmud, meaning that over here, it's Rav Huna arguing with Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Yirmiyah was Rav Huna's Talmud. Sounds like the Lacha should be like his Talmud, Rav Yirmiyah. So Amarava, my Talmud, Rav Huna. Well, how do you explain Rav Huna's position? What's Rav Huna thinking? So hoyo v'naseh bat, maseh yitoma b'chaye av. Right, that, the fact that the daughter went so far as to both accept Kiddushin and to marry herself off, it's as if she's an orphan, because the fact that the father sees this and was silent about it, then it means that he's basically given up his rights to his daughter, or that his silence is really can be interpreted as acquiescence. Because if you say by the case where he married her, he created the Kiddushin, and then she goes out and marries without his acquiescence, you can say over there that when he's silent in one, the face of one action, meaning the Nisuin, that means that he's angry, and he doesn't approve of it. But if she goes as far as to do, first of all, get married, then have Nisuin without her, and her father's watching this all happen, and says nothing, in that case, it's obviously got to be tacit approval, otherwise he would have spoken up at some point over here. And that's why Rav Huna says that the fact that he did all of this action, the Kiddushin, Nisuin, with the father watching, means the father approves. If the father approves, then we have a Kiddushin Doraisa, and a Nisuin Doraisa, and therefore the girl can eat Truma. Okay, we'll stop over here.